Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ali. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now is live.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell and today I'm joined by Tempest the Wrestler. Oh, God.
I'm Tempest.
That was the worst ASMR you could have possibly done. The squeaky bottle wound? Oh, no. I take it back. That's so much worse.
Do you remember, like, 10 years ago when David Otunga was on TV and he had his coffee mug? And in every single segment, he would always just be like... like the most overdramatic slurping sound.
That's such an odd fact to bring up. I remember David Otunga with the coffee mug. I don't remember the slurping, I must admit.
It was horrible. It was that, and he had his stupid little bow tie, and he almost never wrestled, but he would just be backstage slurping on his coffee. Oh.
Yeah. Hey, do you remember Michael Tarver out of the Nexus?
Do
you remember him? His backstage segments that he had after the Nexus when he was on his phone twice, and it was just him on his phone looking. And that was it. Never led to anything. It's a good time.
It was so fun back in the day where, like, they would always have people just walking backstage, and you could just kind of see who was still being brought to TV but never used.
Mm. Yeah.
Such a good time. Like, I think there was one segment right after Jack Swagger won the World Heavyweight title on SmackDown in 2010, where he's just walking backstage. He's just won the title, and he was really, like, emotionless, which was dumb. But he walked by Luke Gallows, who hadn't been on TV in I don't know how long, where he just, you're just still here. All right. Cool.
Good to see you. Yeah. Anyway, Tempest, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, Pete. You know, I got to do the AEW podcast this week. That was a lot of fun. Yeah, that was, like, honest God, I think that was the longest conversation I've ever had with Luke. And not because either of us didn't want to have a conversation. We just never, our paths had never crossed.
Exclusive from the WrestleTalk podcast, Tempest hates Luke.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was it was me who planted the idea in Mr. Davis's head to fire him. No, we just had a grand old time on Wednesday watching the show and then Thursday reviewing it. Just a lovely fellow, that man, Luke.
He certainly is. I thoroughly enjoy any time that I do the podcast with him. We always end up having a very good time, mainly because something stupid happens on it. For some reason, anytime it's me and Luke reviewing Raw, it's always where something really dumb happens. So it was when Retribution got unmasked and they got their names was the episode that me and Luke did. And also when Cedric Alexander was Gary the Goat Garbutt against Drew McIntyre. And he was like, got him, chief. It's like, you lost. You moron.
He did threaten me with watching Raw next week in case Mr. Davis isn't recovered just yet. He was like, maybe we'll just have you back next week to review Raw.
Tempest. Man, if the comments think you're negative about SmackDown, whew. You wait.
Yeah.
You wait till I hear your thoughts about Raw.
It's okay. It's okay.
Anyway, let's talk about SmackDown. Where the first thing we're going to be talking about is the return of Jimmy Uso, everyone. God, it was amazing. And we're going to talk about everything that happened. A lot happened on this show. The main focus of the show was Jimmy. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about this Jimmy Uso return, because it was great. So, the show starts off. We'll talk about the whole SmackDown throwback thing later. For now, let's actually talk about the segments. It started off with Roman Reigns coming out with Jey Uso and Paul Heyman, as they normally do. And they started off by doing a 10-bell salute for Daniel Bryan's career, which is just brilliant, for starters. Amazing. And they made it even better by Paul Heyman going like, no, I can do this myself. And he did ding 10 times, which was so funny that Roman Reigns nearly broke. He nearly started laughing.
It was so dumb. Like,
so stupid, right?
So stupid. And if it was anyone other than Paul Heyman, I don't think they probably could have carried this. But because it was this group, I feel like this worked. It was like, this was the wacky side of pro wrestling in the usually serious Roman Reigns segment. I don't know. It was a good touch. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was very, very funny. I really appreciated it. And then in a nice little, what could be seen as an anticlimactic return, because normally you think of like big epic return, person comes back and interferes in a big match. It's like, whoa, this person's back. This was like, oh, hey, Jimmy Uso's here now. But they made it make sense by saying, okay, Daniel Bryan's gone, and in his place, I've brought in someone else who is going to acknowledge me as the Tribal Chief, Jimmy Uso. Out comes Jimmy. And at first I was like, oh, okay, so Jimmy's back. Interesting. Let's see what like the dynamic is here. And he came in, and he celebrated with Jimmy, and celebrated with Jay, sorry, and they were hugging and, you know, gave him the thing to Roman. I don't know, you know, I can't describe things.
Dap him up.
Sure. Yeah, that one. He was standing with Roman, having a good time. And I was like, okay, so there's not even like any like dissension or anything here. He's just going to join Roman. I was like, okay, well, I mean, that's fine. Like, I would have maybe preferred like a little bit of dissension there or something like that, but I guess it's fine. Cesaro interrupts before they can say anything else and just says, excuse me, did you say that you've replaced Daniel Bryan? Because you can't replace Daniel Bryan. He's amazing. Also, I don't have any time for you tonight, Reigns, because I've got to focus on Seth Rollins. Immediately, Seth Rollins comes out, attacks Cesaro from behind, setting up their match, their announced match that they already have before. Holla, holla. It's time for Teddy Long, everyone, because it's the throwback episode of SmackDown, who comes out and says, if Cesaro beats Seth Rollins in this match, then he gets a Universal title match against Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Backlash. And what I really liked about this as well is he made this announcement and Seth Rollins was like, but what about me? What about if I win? Like, where's my prize? Which was nice to see him not just be like, okay. He actually like maintained his character, was like, what about me? I should get a thing. So this led into a match. We're just going to talk about so much stuff because this took up the vast majority of this show. So we'll go through everything now. It went straight into the Cesaro versus Rollins match, which I thought was awesome. It was a really fun match. Really, really cool match. I've talked for ages, so you talk about the match, Tempest.
Well, yeah. I mean, for shows like this, where I didn't really like the lead into this show, in terms of like, we've talked a lot about how we didn't want to see another match between Cesaro and Seth Rollins because that kind of undermined the WrestleMania match. And that's fine. But once I get to this show and I'm going to review the show in a vacuum, the show's really good because obviously we're getting this match, whether we wanted to see it in the past or not. The match is going to be really good because look who's involved. You know, I would be more shocked if this match wasn't good. So when you have Cesaro and Seth Rollins have a new match, Sean Rossap did point out on Twitter that it would have probably been a better idea to give Seth a few wins in the weeks leading up to this so that you could just make this a number one contender match. You know, just give a little bit more context and give a little bit more higher stakes to a match like this, but they didn't do that, and that's fine. The match itself was really good, and you still had the higher investment into it because of Cesaro wanting the title match and everything, and still having the Usos at ringside added that little extra bit of flavor that we didn't have at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
The match itself is really good. It's really good. I like really that they didn't do a big swing spot in this match, because it feels like they're saving that for the really big Cesaro matches. And I feel like it would be really easy to have that just kind of be his, like, his signature spot that he does in every match that you probably would get desensitized to after a while. And they're not doing that, which is a positive sign, because it shows me that they're learning to do the important things in the important matches. And I love that. I love that, and I need more of it.
Yep, that's exactly right. And the action was really, really good. Like you said, these guys are really two awesome wrestlers. It went through like a couple ad breaks. It was nice and long. They got lots of time. And I was like, okay, they're going into the finishing sequence. And then there was an ad break. I was like, I'm wrong. They've got loads more left. And yeah, so then they came back. And the finish got me quite intrigued, because Jimmy Uso starts distracting the referee. And while he's doing that, Jay starts to like go towards Cesaro to start interrupting in the match. Seth stops Jay and he's like, I don't need your help. Stay out of this. And as Seth starts to get back into the ring, Jay looks like he's going to like, not necessarily aggressively like attack Seth, but wanted to like at least like talk to him some more or something like that. Went to like go tap him on the shoulder or something. And Seth turns around and just pushes Jay to the ground and be like, I told you, I don't need your help. Stay out of this. Don't you know who I am? Kind of thing. Jimmy, in retaliation to Jay getting pushed over, super kicks Seth while the ref is still distracted. Cesaro then takes out Jimmy, gets Seth back in the ring, does like this weird like float over into the neutralizer spot, which was kind of cool, did a neutralizer on Seth and got the win. So I was like, okay, positives. Cesaro got the win. He's going to face Roman Reigns at Backlash, sure. Really fun match, love that. And I was like, man, I'm so ready to be really pissed off at WWE that this is how they brought Jimmy back. Of like, no like fanfare, he's just part of the tribal family, and immediately he's completely ineffectual in stopping anything. I'm like, man, they've completely ruined this return. This is going to be awful. I was wrong. I was really wrong. Because we then had a backstage segment afterwards where Seth is talking to Roman, and immediately I'm already like, oh, Seth and Roman, cool. And him just saying, right, Jimmy cost me that match and Jay cost me that match. Should I be pissed off at Jimmy, or should I be pissed off at you? Are you in control of Jimmy? And Roman's like, look, I'm going to handle my family. Don't worry about it. And Seth is just like, okay, make sure you do, because if you don't, I will. And I was like, I like this. They're referencing the story. They're referencing a story that's actually happening, and they're not waiting for next week or anything. They're continuing the momentum of Jimmy's return and doing it all on this night, which is big thumbs up from me. Loved all of that. And it went straight into another backstage segment where Roman was talking to Jay and Jimmy, just being like, and he's basically just saying to Jimmy everything he's already said to Jay in the past. Anytime Jay screwed up and he's like, you're embarrassing the family, like this is all for, you know, for the betterment of me and the family. And as the, you know, head of the table, you've got to need to respect my wishes and blah, 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 all that stuff that he normally says to Jay. And then in a moment where I literally like my jaw almost dropped. I was like, oh, no way. Jimmy just said like, you're not going to talk to me like you've talked to Jay. I'm not anyone's bitch. And I was like, guys, they're doing a story. it was like Jimmy's back. Oh, they've ruined it. Oh, this is great again. It was like proper like roller coaster emotions. And Jimmy just walks off. And I was like, oh, damn, there's going to be some consequences for this. I'm very excited. So, yeah, it started off absolutely fantastic. Those two backstage segments back to back, I thought were absolutely fantastic. Thought they were great.
Absolutely. I mean, this is the kind of long-term storytelling that I really enjoy seeing, and we don't often get it out of WWE. So when we do get it, it's like, oh, give me more of this. Just like inject it into my veins. It's so good. Like, I really enjoyed the Seth Rollins backstage segment, because this is exactly the kind of interaction I want to see between these two guys, because they kind of like, they acknowledge they have history together. So there's like a mutual respect. He's not just bursting into his locker room being like, ah, Roman, God damn it, cost me my match. What the hell? He's like, you can tell that they've been through a lot together. They're both heels now, so they're not going to be like chummy.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they're both on the same side of the locker room right now, and they can have a calm but tense discussion and then just kind of squash it and be like, all right, deal with your family or I will, but we're cool. Mm-hmm. I like that. That is the exact kind of interaction I want to see between those two. And then to lead right into the Jimmy Uso segment, where we didn't really know what we were going to get when it started with Jey Uso last year, because this was like Roman's first feud coming out of his Universal title win, and his character hadn't really been established yet. So we were kind of learning what the storyline was going to be as it happened. Now we've seen like 8 months of storytelling to this point, and when Jimmy Uso comes in and says that, we're like, oh, you're going to get your ass beat, dude. Like, we can now see what's going to happen because mm-hmm. we've been through so much. And that's really good. That's really, really good, because it kind of like, I saw all the segments on the show involving Roman Reigns, and I felt like they were treating the fans like they were smart. And that mm-hmm. is something that WWE doesn't do all of the time. So to see it here is really like really inspiring, that hopefully we'll see it more in the future. Maybe that's Paul Heyman. Maybe not. I don't know. When Paul Heyman's involved in the good segment, that's kind of where my mind goes. But at the same time, I didn't think when the Jey Uso match at Clash of Champions was announced that that was like a main event match for a pay-per-view. I was like, oh, that's a little bit odd, but it's a pandemic. You can do these sort of things. Now, I want to see a Roman Reigns, Jimmy Uso pay-per-view main event, because mm-hmm. the story deserves that kind of treatment. And that is a massive endorsement of the Roman Reigns angle and this storyline and the work that everyone's done, because you've really gotten me to care about like the individual Usos as individual characters, which was something I never thought that they would do. So mm-hmm. big props on this night to WWE. You crushed it.
See, I've got one better instead of Roman versus Jimmy that I'll talk about in a minute after we talk about this next promo, because there was another backstage promo later on between Jimmy and Jey Uso after Jimmy'd stormed off from Roman. And I thought this promo was possibly even better. This genuinely might have been my favorite promo of the night, maybe. Because this, oh my God, so much tension between these two, but they are brothers. And they're like, I'm not going to fight you. Like, I'm not going to do anything physical to you, but I'm really annoyed at you. And I want to get my point across to you. And like Jey was saying, look, is that how you view me? Am I a Roman's bitch? And Jimmy's like, yeah, you are. Like, just like not like mincing his words, not trying to sugarcoat it. He's like, you are. What's happened to you? Like, you're the reason he's the Universal Champion right now. And then Jey, because he's been so like manipulated and indoctrinated into like Roman's way of thinking, he's like, oh, it's all for the betterment of the family. It's all, you know, it all comes back to us. And he's like, no, it's for the betterment of Roman. Don't you see that? This is all for Roman. This is nothing to do with the family. This is Roman just using you. And like, you know, and they just have this tense like back and forth. And Jimmy's like, if you want to talk about family, something that would actually benefit the family, you and me becoming the tag team champions again, that is what we want for the family. And I was like, I want this now. I want these two to be a team again. And I want them to start teaming, and I want them to become the tag team champions. And I'm going to be really happy about it when they do. So here's my pitch. Maybe at Backlash, maybe later. Jimmy versus Jey. Make it happen, because Roman has to, like, he has to say it. And Jimmy's like, I want to fight you, Roman. Give me that match against you, because you're not treating Jey like this anymore. And Roman's like, you can have a match against Jey. And it's like, I just want that, to have brother versus brother and just see them like facing off. And Jey doesn't want to do it, and Jimmy doesn't want to do it, but they're on two different sides. And it's just, man, I really like this story. I don't know if you can tell.
Yeah, a little bit. I will say that I would have liked the storyline getting here to be, well, I guess better, but we've talked a lot about how those early months of 2021 were just kind of like a rent and repeat Roman Reigns promo, you know, where it was just kind of like, it was stagnant for a while. It was still good because all the performances and the delivery was all really great, but the character progression really wasn't there. now we're seeing the character progression. Like, this is a major, not even necessarily like angle where things change, but it's just like you add another layer onto the storyline. And that's something that I felt that this storyline drastically needed, especially now that Daniel Bryan is taken out of the situation, you know, because now we don't have that foil for Roman Reigns where they can play off each other and be rivals. Now you have another element that can be, we don't know whether he's going to join the team or if this is just going, he could end up like Jey Uso and just end up being part of the family. So good. There's so many possibilities, and I love not knowing where they're going to end up. I like there's a fine line between a predictable wrestling storyline where they just do the right thing and you can see it coming, and a good wrestling storyline where they could go a bunch of different ways and all of those ways would make sense. That to me is one of the most just entertaining ways to watch wrestling television. Because you know that whichever way they end up going is going to be good, but you don't know which way it's going to be. I love that. I love that. Love it. Love it. Love it. It's so good. Yeah. I need more of this. Why can't all the storylines be this good?
I know. God. Then we had another couple backstage promos as well. Reigns just saying to Heyman, bring me my cousin. Heyman's just like, which one? And Reigns just gives him a death stare. And he's like, I understand. No worries. I'm going to go do that. And just like walked off, which was great. And it was just him getting Jey Uso and just being like, look, I need to figure out where Jimmy's head's at. We need to find this out right now. I'm going to go out to the ring and I'm going to find this out. Which led into the main event segment, which was Reigns and Jey and Heyman coming out, much like at the start of the show. And Reigns just says, it's not how I envision tonight going. And Jimmy Uso is not going to wait any longer. He just comes straight out and interrupts. And again, just the little thing of him just interrupting Roman Reigns. I'm like, oh, it's going to be consequences for that. Like, it's just the levels of the story that we've been told months and months and months is that Roman doesn't forget stuff and he's going to make him pay for that. Jimmy interrupting and just says, shows a clip from Hell in a Cell and just being like, look, don't you remember, Jey? Don't you remember this? That you didn't say I quit to him. You only quit for me. And now I'm here telling you that you're in the wrong place. You shouldn't be by his side. And now you can't see what I'm saying. Like, oof, man. Also, lovely little subtle thing of Jimmy wearing the Usos merch. Day one-ish, you know, the whole Usos with together Usos. And Jey just wearing his right-hand man main event Jey Uso t-shirt. I'm like, man, this is...
It's the little things. It's the little details that make it better. Like that sort of thing. Because they don't... Those aren't things that they point out. But subliminally, you think about it where, oh, yeah, you just look at it as his right hand man and you just see like a company man. They're not a company per se, but he's someone who has been indoctrinated into this role. Oh, it's so good. And I love them bringing up Hell in a Cell because how often do we see things like that where, oh, that happened 2 weeks ago, pal. Nobody remembers that. Push it out of the way, never bring it up. To bring up the past makes it feel like that was important. And for the important moments of the storyline to be brought up again and treated as important makes them feel important. And that makes everything feel more important.
Yeah. And speaking of important, oh man, Reigns had a line next that I literally had to pause the show for a second. I was like, I need to savor this line for just a second because this was brilliant. Of him just saying, Jimmy, you have to fall in line. You have to acknowledge me. It's the same stuff that he used to say to Jey Uso before Clash of Champions, before Hell in a Cell. You have to fall in line. You have to acknowledge me. Or you can take your ass home. You can turn on the TV and you have to explain to your family why you're not here alongside the Uso. And I had to pause and I was like, alongside the Uso? Oh, that is... That cuts me deep, and I'm not Jimmy Uso. Oh, man. I loved that line so much. And Jimmy just walks away. He just gets out the ring, and he's looking kind of like conflicted. And he doesn't know what to do. He gets onto the ramp, and he stops, and he's thinking about it. And Jey goes out to try and console him and talk to him. And then Cesaro comes out and attacks Reigns in the ring. And Jey Uso turns around as if he wants to go back and help. And Jimmy grabs his arm to stop him going back, and he says, "No, you don't need to protect him from this." Jay shakes it off and runs back into the ring, and Jimmy looks like he turns around again, like he's going to walk away and leave him, and he stops and he's thinking, and he runs into the ring to try and help the situation, and immediately gets uppercutted by Cesaro, and Cesaro leaves all three of them laying, hits him with neutralizers and uppercuts and all sorts, and looks awesome coming out of it, and walks off, and the show ends, and I'm like, God, this is so good! Just yeah. Having Jimmy conflicted with his decisions, and he made the decision to help the family, which immediately led him to getting completely trounced. Like, I just want to see next week's show. I want to see what the fallout's going to be. I want to see what Jimmy's thinking. I want to see what Reigns is thinking. Because, like, Jimmy did come back to help at the end of the day, and Reigns has probably got to acknowledge that. But also, Jimmy did some stuff from this week that he's not going to like interrupting him and walking out on him and talking back to him. So there's going to be consequences for that. I don't know what's happening, and I love all of it. Tempest, I really like this story. I really, really like this story.
I do too, Pete. I do too. I loved that they made Cesaro look strong throughout all of this, because it would be very easy to forget about Cesaro as a character in this storyline, given how much else happened on the show. But to have that little extra bit at the end where he lays them all out and does it in a smart way, where he managed to attack Roman while the other two had their backs turned. So that's still a fair fight, but he's not going to be stupid and just run in and try and fight all three at once, and then took out all three one after another. It just made him look like a smart baby face, which should always be the goal. You can't have a stupid baby face. And then he's able to actually do it, so he looks strong and smart. That's so good. Like, the good treatment of Cesaro is so jarring to me after all these years, because if you told me that Cesaro was going to challenge Roman Reigns for the Universal title a few months ago, 100% I would have said, oh, he's getting beaten up on TV every week. Like, that's just, oh, it's Cesaro. That's how they're going to book Cesaro. But no, that's not what's happening. And it's fantastic. I don't know why they can't book their baby faces more like this more often, but I will absolutely take it when it happens here. It's so good. And this whole storyline is so good.
That, so good.
Like, this is the kind of stuff that makes me really enjoy wrestling, is those week-to-week matches and segments and storylines that make me want to watch the next week. You know? And for a long time, I wasn't getting that. So I'm going to be, like, really happy to see this, as long as they can keep the intrigue up with this Jimmy Uso storyline. And that promo, man, like, oof, oof. I saw someone in the chat say that it was reminiscent of when Jey Uso last year said, you know what they ask me? Which one are you? Where it's like, ooh, that cuts deep. That cuts deep. You can feel the real emotion in there. And if somebody said, yeah, he's the Uso now, that would hurt. That would hurt a lot.
It's such a nice parallel to have that promo being like, no one can tell me apart from my brother. And now Roman literally acknowledges him as different from his brother. It's just so good.
It's so good on so many levels too, because not only is Roman saying that to be a dick, but he's also kind of right. And that Jey Uso is now the recognizable Uso because he's with Roman. And that, like, that lends credence to what he's saying, where if you join me, you will be better off, because it's true. Like, yeah, Jey Uso might just be helping him out and might still be getting his ass beat, but it's undeniable that he is a better wrestler and better character now because he's associated with Roman.
Yeah, dude.
That's brilliant, man. That is such a complex, layered storyline. Oh.
If anyone's been reading the WrestleTalk magazine, by the way, you'll note that in my little sections on the WrestleTalk magazine of, like, wrestler of the month, TV storyline of the month, TV match of the month, and all that stuff, more often than not, the majority of my picks surround Roman Reigns, because he's probably, like, my favorite thing going. And occasionally, you know, they'll be like, you know, the Britt Baker Thunder Rosa fight was, like, TV match of the month and stuff like that. But in this latest issue that's coming out soon, every single pick is Roman Reigns. because it's just so good. It's like TV match of the month, it's Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan. Wrestler of the month, it's Roman Reigns. Storyline, it's Roman Reigns versus Cesaro and Daniel Bryan. Like, it's all Roman, because this is genuinely one of my favorite things right now. It's just, I just can't get enough of it, and I don't know where the story's going, and I want to see more of it. I don't know whether Jimmy's going to be the reason that Cesaro doesn't win at Backlash, like Jimmy finally joins the family and he costs Cesaro the title, or unintentionally costs Cesaro the title, or he just actively goes against Roman and Cesaro wins. It's not going to happen, but you know, it's a possibility. I don't know. I don't know where the story's going, and I can't get enough of it, and I love it, and I feel like we do need to stop talking about this because we've been talking for 25 minutes already.
Yeah, but this was like half the show too, so I think we can get away with it. One final point I will say about it, because you just brought up the Backlash match, that how often do we see these matches that either have a guest referee or have someone be the special enforcer, and you know it'll be a good match, but you are just waiting for that person to get involved. And in a sense, like, that's the real story and push of the match, where it's like, okay, nothing's really going to matter until that person gets involved. This is like the good version of doing that, where I want to see how this storyline resolves, because it could go a number of different ways. Maybe he costs Roman the title. Would that not be just like the biggest thing ever for Cesaro to win this title? Like, oh, it's so good. And to have all of this revolving around a pay-per-view main event against someone like Cesaro that we kind of want to see succeed. It's like all of the layers of a great storyline blending together at the right time. Like,
Yeah.
Can you tell we like this show?
Yeah, man. God, it's so good. I'm going to do two very quick negatives. I know people in the comments have just been talking about how positive I'm being and stuff. I can't be completely positive, otherwise I go against my entire gimmick. So two very quick and small negatives. When Cesaro was attacking Reigns and that whole segment was going down, the amount of camera cuts was obnoxious.
It was awful.
Sort it out. God, it was like genuinely like nauseating to watch it. And I was like, I want to see what's actually happening. Please just calm down. Also, less of a negative, but I still think it needs a bit of work. I don't like the neutralizer. It feels like when Cesaro is doing like his big kind of like when he was beating up all three of them and trying to do quick neutralizers on all of them, it's not a quick move. And it felt like it was a bit like rushed and some of the impact was lost a little bit. I'd rather he either just uppercutted them and left it at that, or changed the neutralizer to something else, or it just feels like there's a little bit of a disconnect. It's not my favorite move. I love Cesaro and I love his uppercuts and basically everything else he does. Just the neutralizer wasn't quite there for me in like a quick beatdown segment like this.
I think you're allowed to have that opinion. I think that's a pretty common opinion, that people don't really like the neutralizer. I'm not like a huge hater of the move. It's fine, but I think you could do like a pop-up uppercut move that would be like a really satisfying finisher. Or I know they don't really do pile drivers, but have them do a Gotch style pile driver. Like, it's the same setup with the like the underhook type move, lift him up and pile drive him, because he's like, I feel like indie stars kind of get away with doing stuff like that more often. I don't know if that's just me, but I feel like people like CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Cesaro could really get away with doing like a pile driver. Because at this point, I feel like it's kind of like an indie move. Because aside from The Undertaker, like, no one hits pile drivers in WWE.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Let's see what you guys thought, because otherwise we could keep talking about it for ages, but we shouldn't. So let's get into some of these. DN Trin said, if Blood and Guts is a one-match show, this episode of SmackDown is a one-segment show. Brilliant work from Jimmy J and the Tribal Chief Roman. Well, it was a one-story show, that much is for sure.
Yes.
Not necessarily. It's it was the whole story surrounding Jimmy, but it was like most of the show.
Yes, that's why it was good, because they had all of their segments throughout the show. Mm-hmm. It was like all of the Roman Reigns, like, you're right, all of the Roman Reigns stuff made this show good, but it's because the mm-hmm. Roman Reigns stuff happened at the beginning and then sprinkled throughout the middle.
Yeah. And like, I saw some people on the edited review that I did earlier being like, why is it a problem when like MVP has four segments on Raw, but it's fine when this stuff takes up all the segments on SmackDown? And I'd say that the difference is that this actually progressed a story throughout the whole show rather than it just being repeats of the same thing, or it's just mm-hmm. like, but I'm going to say a thing. This one actually had a purpose for every single segment throughout the show, and actually furthered a show-long story.
Yeah, I never felt watching these segments like they were just there to kill time. And that's how I feel anytime I watch Raw, where, oh, this is just a segment to get through some of this three-hour block that we're trying to sift through, you know?
Yeah.
Everything here had a purpose.
Goodness me, we're going to need to hurry up with these Ultra Chats because there's a few of them. Charles Berg says, one thing that may get glossed over is the difference of how Roman talks to his family and how he talks to Seth. He talks to Seth like he's a brother and an equal, while he talks to his real family like petulant children that need to follow dad's rules. Good point. Yeah, like Tempest was saying, it's like that, like that mutual respect between them, which mm-hmm. he doesn't have for Jimmy and Jay. Great. Loved it. Anthony Velasquez says, I think it was genius how they brought Jimmy back. He ain't taking any crap from Roman, as it should be, since Roman choked him out the last time we saw him. Yep.
Smart storytelling. Like, how easy would it be to just forget about all that happened and just put him with the group? That's what they would do, like, so many times, but they're not doing that, and it's great.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. Survivor 1993 says, do you guys think we're going to get a Jimmy versus Jay match down the line? And if so, how do you think the match will go? Also, when is WrestleTalk going to be releasing Intangibles merchandise? No comment on the last bit. Jimmy versus Jay, I'd love to see. I don't know when it would be. I don't think it should be a Backlash. I feel like there should be some sort of Jimmy dissension at Backlash. Like, he does something against Roman's wishes at Backlash, and that leads to more tension between them, and it leads to like a Jimmy versus Jay match. Maybe Jimmy versus Jay should even be on SmackDown, not on pay-per-view. And you just have a Jimmy versus Jay thing on SmackDown, which leads to a Jimmy versus Roman match if they need it. Or maybe that's the combination. Maybe that's the turning point for Jimmy actually joining the family. Maybe reluctantly at first. I don't know. But yeah. That's what I'd say.
This feels like a storyline that could be like a slow burn, where you don't necessarily need to do the big Jimmy J match at the pay-per-view that's a week away. You know, like, you can wait until the pay-per-view after that. And who knows? Like, there's so many different possibilities. I do think that a match should come between the two, but if they take their time and wait to do it, I don't think that's a negative at all.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. Garrett Albright says, with a very generous donation. Thank you very much, Garrett. It says, God, this Tribal Chief storyline is amazing. I can see from here the Mysterios win the tag titles, and then they feud with the Usos once Jimmy acknowledges him. Absolutely. Family versus family. Roman could corrupt Dom, leading to the heel turn Mysterio versus Mysterio. That's interesting. I don't know if that's the way to go personally, but I would love to see, the Usos beat the Mysterios. I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah, I think that is the natural way to go, because if the Mysterios mm-hmm. don't win the tag titles at Backlash, I'm going to be just blah, like, what? What's the point? Who cares about the tag titles? So put them on mm-hmm. the team that people actually like. Yeah. I think a match between the Mysterios and the Usos makes all the sense in the world, because you can do the family mm-hmm. thing and all that. I don't necessarily think I see like Dom turning on Rey and joining Roman or anything like that, but the match and the lead into that, I fully agree with.
And even if he does, I think there's potential there for Roman to like get in Dom's head kind of thing. I would never have Dom like join Roman or anything, but him just being like, hey, you're right, I am better than my dad. My dad's a has-been, ba-ba-da-ba-da kind of thing. Him being like corrupted leading to a heel turn. I could see that. It could work if they do it right, which I'm sure they could. We'll do last Ultra Chat for now before we get into the rest of the show, because we've been going for 35 minutes already. Anurag Srivastava, sorry if I butchered that. Absolutely loved the Roman J. Uso storyline. Also, as you said, there are so many possibilities. And to actually top it off, something which got missed here is how Seth is still pissed at Jimmy. Layers. Here's how Seth is still pissed at Jimmy. Layers.
Who got missed here is how Seth is still pissed at Jimmy.
And something which got missed here is how Seth is still pissed at Jimmy. Yeah, we mentioned that, didn't we?
Yeah, we didn't miss that, but it is a good extra layer to the story. That
absolutely.
Honestly, I would think that one of them would have to turn, and in that case it would probably be Seth, but I think that Roman Seth could be the SummerSlam match.
That could be really interesting. Yeah.
Like this would be a really good first detail that leads into a rivalry between them.
Absolutely, yeah. And to top it off as well, he wasn't being a babyface by doing it, but Seth did want to win under his own merit. Mm-hmm. He literally didn't want to take outside help. It's kind of a babyface thing to do. Kinda. He had very heelish motivations for it, but it's a babyface thing to do. So maybe we're seeing him in that babyface light a little bit more. Who knows?
I hope so. I'm ready for something new for Seth Rollins.
Yeah, same. I've loved his character, but babyface would be all right. Anyway, we'll get into the rest of your Ultra Chats later on. But first, don't worry, we will get through every single one of your Ultra Chats before we end the show today. WrestleTalk.com/support if you want to get in your messages that we will read out before the end of the show. But for now, let's talk about the rest of the show, which we'll have to do relatively quickly because we've overrun talking about Jimmy because it was great. So now you've had your happy Pete. You've had your really fun times. You've had the guy that's just really positive about everything. Get ready for regular Pete, because he's back.
I don't want to talk about the rest of the show.
So it was the throwback SmackDown of this one. It was the old school throwback SmackDown, which didn't make any sense. Because they had all the branding from like the 80s stuff, and they're showing the crowds from the 80s and the fans with the foam fingers being like Hulk rules and all that stuff, you know, classic 80s crowds, which has nothing to do with SmackDown. And then they had the old school WWF logo, which they obviously turned into the WW logo to make it not WWF, which also has nothing to do with SmackDown. And like the graphics through the whole show had nothing to do with SmackDown. It was just, it's just a bit rubbish, wasn't it?
Yeah, this felt to me like, because I think they said that this was throwback weekend on Fox. So maybe they were just like, oh, well, I guess we have to do it too. Here's Teddy Long, you know. But, oh, God, this felt like such a half-baked throwback SmackDown. Mm. Like,
yeah.
I know that they gave us, like, the graphic of the fist and all that. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you know you're going to do a throwback SmackDown, and maybe they just didn't. Maybe they didn't know that they were doing this until a week ago. But can you try a little bit harder? That fist is in a warehouse somewhere. Can you not just bring it out for one thing? Like, how much fun would that have been to just see the old SmackDown set. I don't know. It just felt like they didn't really do anything here. Like you had Pat McAfee and Michael Cole in different different suits, and they had the referees in the blue shirts. I like that touch. That was a nice little Easter egg. And they had an Ico Pro commercial, which did make me lose it. I will be perfectly yes. Absolutely. But
yep.
I don't know. There just wasn't enough there for it to be like a big branded show. You know, it was just like, oh, it was a throwback SmackDown.
Yeah. And it was like they played clips from some of SmackDown's highlights through the show, which was, you know, here's the first ever main event. Here's Stone Cold and Booker T in the supermarket. Here's Brock Lesnar and Big Show collapsing the ring. And like, that's fine. It's fun. But like, if you're going to do the throwback episode, and I know this is difficult in a pandemic, which really begs the question, why are you doing a throwback episode? But to have like people come back, you know, legends of the past, you know, like they normally do for the old school shows.
Where,
you know,
where like was that. Edge for this?
Yeah, where's Edge? It's Edge.
He's Mr. SmackDown.
Yeah.
Like you barely even talked about Rey Mysterio being there. Mm. And Rey Mysterio is another like face of SmackDown. I don't know.
Yeah. Whatever. It's fine. Whatever. It was fairly inoffensive on the show. They just could have done better with it. Like you said, it's very half-baked, but it was fine. We talked about all the opening stuff with that. After that, we had a backstage segment with Teddy Long and Sonya Deville backstage. Teddy Long was just the replacement for Adam Pearce this week. He was just there. Sami Zayn came in. And Sammy will never fail to make me laugh because he's the best. And was basically saying like, oh, you're an outsider. You don't know anything about this whole conspiracy that's been going on. So if you want to give me the title match that I want for the Intercontinental Championship, that would be great. And Teddy Long was like, can't do that, player, because I've already made a 10-man tag team match tonight. And it's Big E, Kevin Owens, the Street Profits, and Shinsuke Nakamura versus King Corbin, Alpha Academy, Apollo, and Sammy as the two teams. And Sammy, reluctantly joining in on Dancing with Teddy Long, made me laugh out loud of him just being like, I don't want to do this, but it's Teddy Long dancing in front of me, and I kind of have to. He's just the best. I love Sammy so much.
It's definitely infectious, that dance.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought it was very funny. And Teddy Long saying things like, you'll go one-on-one with The Undertaker. I was like, okay, that's kind of, yeah, that's all right. That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it's become such a meme over the last like 10 years where for a while it was not done ironically. He just booked people in tag team matches and made them go one-on-one with The Undertaker.
Yeah,
and now it's a joke, you know? But it's
kind of like War Games for Regal. Like at first he was just announcing War Games and now they're like, oh, it's a meme that people like.
Yeah.
Do it more. And it comes out and then they hype it up. And then him just going, War Games! And everyone goes, hey, he said the thing. It's like, say the line, Bart, all the time. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, this was fine. We then had a decent little match between Ruby Riott and Carmella. It was pretty short. Thought it was fairly inoffensive. Thought I had a fun little ending sequence of them doing sequences of roll-ups back and forth, which led into a really smooth transition into the Code of Silence. Carmella got the tap-out win. Thought it was all right. It was good.
Yeah, in like... For just a segment, it was fine, but I thought the presentation of like the women on this show was not particularly good. I thought the Bayley and Bianca Belair segment that we'll get to was like the only good use of the women on this show, because otherwise, like, this is like a 3-minute match, and kind of like, I get you got to bring Carmella back and everything because she hasn't really been on TV, but not a whole lot here. And then you, of course, had the wonderful Reginald stuff later in the show, which I'm sure we'll get to. But would have liked a little bit more effort into a lot of this.
I mean, I think this was fairly inoffensive. Like, it gave Carmella a win. And I think sometimes you can just have wrestling matches. And this didn't have, you know, a feud or anything going into it. It was just they had a match and Carmella won. And I think that's okay. It was all right. But yeah, then we had the Bayley segment, which was she came out and she did a showcase of women's champions from the past. And she showed Alundra Blaze, Jacqueline, Lita, Trish Stratus, Ivory, Beth Phoenix, Molly Holly, and Bianca Belair. And was like, look at all these people from the past. None of them are Bayley. I'm great, was basically the sum total of it. And she says that Bianca's naive, and if she's not careful, she's going to end up like everyone else on this list, not on Bayley's level. Which is cool. She's going to be had a nice little line here. I thought it said she's going to be the first and the last challenger for Bianca Belair because she's going to beat her at Backlash, which was cool. Bianca comes out, cuts her own promo, and saying that you think I'm naive, or whatever she says. And that's terrible. I'm never going to do that again. And then if Bayley did her laugh again, and I know. At least I know why she laughed this week. I just don't like it. And I know I'm not supposed to like it because she's a heel. I just don't like it.
It's turn the channel heat for me.
Yeah, it is a little.
You know, bit. I'm just like, if I was watching this on a delay and she started laughing, I would skip. I would skip ahead until the beatdown. And that's not supposed to be the goal.
Exactly. Yeah. I'd say it's not funny. It's just annoying. They have a little bit of a brawl. And Bayley gets the upper hand by kind of like she was pulling on like her earring and stuff and standing on her hair and stuff like that. It was pretty cool. And Bayley gets the upper hand standing tall. This was all right. Again.
Yeah.
Fine. Good stuff.
I liked this segment. I don't think there was like, on the whole, there wasn't a whole lot on this show other than the Roman related things that I really enjoyed. But this was a good segment. I did like this one.
Yeah. We then got Dominic Mysterio versus Dolph Ziggler. It's very confused as the setup of this one because Dominic and Ray were in the ring, which to me indicates that they had a match coming up in their gear, you know, ready to go. Dirty Dogs come out with the tag titles and Dolph Ziggler cuts a promo saying like, oh, we're on the throwback episode. There's no two better throwbacks than the Dirty Dogs. And then he gets in the ring and says, hey, Dominic, you don't belong in my ring. You're just Rey Mysterio's son. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, you going to cry? Blah, 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 blah. You know, classic stupid heel stuff. And Dominic's just like, no, I wanna fight you because I'm Dominic Mysterio and I can stand up for myself. I'm gonna fight. And then Dolph's like, okay, let's have a match then. I was like, well, what were you going to do before it? Was it gonna be a tag match between you guys?
No, it was gonna be Dolph and Rey Mysterio. I think they threw to that before the break.
Oh, it might be. Then I missed that. Yeah. Okay, so, and then they changed it to Dolph versus Dom, which is fine. what was going on with Rey Mysterio's mask?
Yeah, I don't know. He
what
had like
his eyes?
He had goggles on. He had like a ski mask goggles
really
on his
dumb.
Eyes. Yeah,
really stupid. Sure, whatever. This match didn't go very long, and Dominic Mysterio got a shock roll-up victory from out of nowhere, which I feel like would have worked much better if Dominic hadn't been wrestling since last year's SummerSlam in actual matches, because they're treating it like he's the complete rookie, and he's like, oh, he's gonna win! Crazy! And it's like, he's been winning a lot, actually. He's been wrestling since last year. You guys not been paying attention?
Like, he wins a lot. And also, it was against Dolph Ziggler. I don't know if you know this, but Dolph Ziggler kind of sucks on this show. Dolph Ziggler doesn't win matches. I get that he's a tag champion right now, but if you're going to try and get me to be, like, excited about a big win for a young up-and-coming guy, he needs to beat someone who's a little bit less damaged than Dolph Ziggler. If he beat Robert Roode, I would have been like, ooh, that's pretty cool. I know Robert Roode doesn't, like, win very much either, but at least he hasn't been around for as long as Dolph Ziggler has, you know? Ah, whatever. I did laugh when they were like, here's Dolph Ziggler versus Rey Mysterio, and I was like, oh my god, I remember seeing this match 12 years ago. Oh my lord. If it was for the Intercontinental title, I actually would have thought that we're living in, like, a simulation or something. This isn't real. And just, we're just going in a circle.
And then we got my favorite part of the show because it's Reginald versus Tamina. And it physically pains me to say that out loud. Reginald versus Tamina. My first note after hearing the announcement of Reginald versus Tamina, in all capitals, is effing why, with a lot of Y's on the end of it.
I had a very similar reaction where they're like, oh, here's Tamina's opponent for the night, Reginald. And I just went, what? I couldn't comprehend it. It's not possible that the same person who writes this segment writes all the Roman Reigns stuff. I get that probably has a little bit more Paul Heyman in influence, but like, how is it the same show?
So Reginald is just fighting Tamina. He just is now. It's just a thing. And this match was not really a match. It was Reginald does some flips, and then Tamina hits a super kick on him because he's done too many flips. And then she goes for a splash, and then Nia and Shayna beat up Tamina to cause a DQ. Which means Tamina wins, technically. But good God, what is the point of any of this? Who's getting over? What's the point? Nothing happens. Reginald was just there.
You couldn't even just have Tamina beat Reginald.
No, it has to be a DQ Reginald. Finish. Come on.
Why? Like, I don't get it. I am 100% sold on the idea I had like 2 weeks ago where they just have a list of finishes backstage and they're like, okay, one's got to be clean, one's got to be distraction, one's got to be a DQ, one's got to be something else. And this was just like, oh, well, we don't have any other matches, so this has got to be the DQ finish. How about you just don't have the DQ finish? It's like, who looked at this match? Are they literally picking finishes out of a hat? Because you couldn't just beat Reginald. You had to protect Reginald. This guy who just showed up one day and decided to ruin this otherwise lovely show that is SmackDown. Can we get this guy off of TV already?
Oh, man. All of it sucks. And I want to clarify again, because I say this all the time, because I don't want people to misconstrue. I have nothing against the person who plays Reginald. I'm sure he's a lovely person. But God, everything that this character evolved, he just sucks all the life and talent out of every segment he's in. And it sucks. It makes me so angry every time. It's the worst.
Oh, God. Damn, I don't get it. It literally feels like they took a syringe and they pulled 50 cc's out of Raw and Reginald, and they just shot it into SmackDown. Nothing else on this show is like this. It's the only segment that is this bad. There are things that might not be great. There are things that might not be as done well as they should be, but this is the one thing that's like, it's minus 5 stars every single week.
Yeah.
You just take the life force of Raw and you just seep it into SmackDown and you give a little touch of the bad. It's breaking me. We got to move on, Pete.
It's the worst. It's the worst. And also Nia and Shayna then beat up Natalya and Tamina and they stand tall because why not? What does it matter at the end of the day? You know what? If Natalya and Tamina stood tall at the end of this segment, do you know what I would have had? Exactly the same reaction, because it doesn't matter. God, I hate this so much.
All because you people at WrestleMania had to cheer Tamina, and now they've got it into their head that, oh God, we got to push Tamina, guys. That's the one that they love. Everybody's really invested in this Tamina thing. Oh, God. Just have them win the titles. Shayna and Nia can break up, and Reginald can go to the Shadow Realm and never be seen again.
We've got to move on, because I'm going to... Oh, man. Okay. We then got... You know what I really liked was this next bit, because each of the two teams in the 10-man tag cut a promo. And if we're talking about the throwback episode, this felt like the really old school Survivor Series promos. It's exactly what they felt like. You have these weird people that should not be on a team together, or like, this dude's in a crown. This guy's Nigerian, and he's got his dude with him that's holding this big spear thing. And they're all cutting these weird promos. These guys shouldn't be a team. This is all weird. And Apollo Crews cut a promo. And then it cuts to like the babyface team, who are all just like mishmash of people. And they're like, we're going to cut a promo. We're going to win. And I'm like, I quite like this. It's really stupid. I love it. It's like the old Survivor Series stuff. It's cool.
They absolutely should have done these in front of a green screen and just had like 100%. A really old WWE graphic on them.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. But I really liked them. They were fine enough. And then we got that 10-man tag, which was, it's basically the WWE formula 10-man tag match, which was you have a bit of a match and then everyone gets their spots in and then it's the finish. And you know what? It's fun.
That's a
like
fine formula.
Get their spots in. Yeah.
You know, honestly,
it's
like,
all right.
Yeah. This, I will never be, unless you really mess it up. The 6, 8, 10 person tag matches are almost always good in WWE. I do have a little bit of a gripe here. I don't know how they came to the conclusion that King Corbin needed to be the one that got the win here. The guy who's done absolutely nothing this year on SmackDown, when anyone else could have gotten the win and furthered whatever storyline they were going off of. Like, you had the whole Intercontinental Championship scene here with four different guys who all could have won this match. You had the tag team stuff with the Street Profits and Alpha Academy, all that. Like, they involved the two guys who've done the least this year and have the least going on to be involved at the finish. And I saw that and was like, what?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Doesn't make any sense, because unless this is a way, and this is not a good reason to have this finish, by the way, maybe this is leading into a Corbin Nakamura feud, and they're going to have a Corbin Nakamura match at Backlash, and that's what they're setting this up for. It's a bad reason to do that, but maybe that's what they were thinking, and they went with that. Maybe I could see that, but it just seems weird to me that the whole premise of this match was Sami Zayn going to him, and it's all built around the Intercontinental title stuff, and they don't have anything to do with any of the IC title guys in the actual finish. Doesn't make any sense to me, but, you know, whatever.
It was odd.
And then we had the main event segment that we've already spoken about with Reigns, etc. So, I will say there wasn't much to the whole throwback stuff. It was a bit of a non-factor in the whole in the show overall. The show-long story of Jimmy Uso, it's genuinely one of my favorite things in most recent Endeavor. It's just awesome, and I loved everything about it. Building on so many layers of story that we've already got. Love all of it. It's treating the fans that are actually smart, not like idiots. Big thumbs up from me. Loved all of that. Everything else on this show, I thought was broadly fine. And I think if they didn't have this Cesaro, Reigns, Jay, Jimmy, Heyman story, this show would really be in trouble.
Yeah.
But with that story, which is one of my favorite things in ever, it's a 4 out of 5 show.
I think this is an easy 4 out of 5 show, personally. Oh, yeah. Like, when you actually look at it, the only bad things on this show to me were, like, the Reginald stuff and maybe an odd finish here and there. But other than that, like, this was a really solid show with a really great storyline running throughout. And we kind of said this before we went on the air, but if you took out, like, that hour of Roman Reigns and all of that every week, this show could very easily just turn into Raw, just an hour shorter. And that is a scary thought. So let's have Roman Reigns never need to go away again.
Yes. And let's have Heyman stay by his side forever. That would be great. Thank you. But yes, so that was the show. Let's get into the rest of your Ultra Chats. In fact, no, we've got to say thank you to some very special people first. Those are our $25 and above pledge hammers on Patreon. They're back for the month. Almost forgot to do that. You know what? I've even got something before that. I've literally written a note in bold, all in capitals, so I don't forget it, and I nearly forgot it. So let's see the poll. Let's see what you guys thought. You also thought it was a 4 out of 5 show. 53% of you voting for a 4 out of 5 show, 10% with a 5 out of 5, and 27% with a 3 out of 5. Very much in that 4 out of 5 bracket over there, which, yeah, I think that's a smart choice. I agree wholeheartedly. Thank you for everyone that voted.
Yeah, I see some people talking about how it was like a bad throwback SmackDown, and so that bumps it down a notch. If you just choose to forget that it was supposed to be a special, then it makes it a little bit easier. I can get not doing that, because that's kind of weird, but, you know, still.
But now, we need to say thank you to some very special people. And those are our $25 and above pledge hammers over on Patreon. If you haven't been to WrestleTalk's Patreon page yet, you should. The poll is currently open for WrestleTalk Extra for this month. It's looking like there's still time to vote, but it's looking like right now the lead is TNA Sacrifice 2008 will be the show that Ollie and Luke will be reviewing for this month, which is Steinemaths, baby.
That's right. I was like, what a weird choice.
Everyone's voting for.
Yeah.
It's because it's Steinemetz isn't even on the show. It's on Impact beforehand. You aren't even going to see Steinemetz when you get the sure. People voted for it anyway. But that is currently in the lead. If you want to change that, by all means, head on over to our Patreon page. At any dollar amount, you can get to vote on the poll for Wrestle Talk Extra for this month. And if you pledge at the $25 or above tier, you get your own custom wrestling nickname, and it gets read out on a show, much like this one. So thank you to no one names their kid this anymore, Larry. Woo! Thank you.
Thank you. We've got fantastic Mr. Fox, Mr. Goddamn it! How do I mess this up every time? Fantastic Mr. Good Old Fox.
Yay! Thank you very much. Will always mark out. Will always mark out for Ollie Landrum. Woo!
Yeah.
Thank you.
We've got Luke's favorite fan, the one, the only, the awesome Bubba.
Woo! Yes, thank you very much. Need a little build up for this one. Hold on. Ronald Coleman, baby!
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
We got The Vision Adonis.
Woo! Thank you very much. The Roller Coaster, Robert Acosta. Woo!
That's a good one. I like that one. You've had Johnny Be Good. You've had Johnny Be Bad. Here's Ryan Be Bad.
Yeah, Ryan Be Bad. Thank you very much. The British Bulldog, Philip Boy J. Smith Jr. Woo! Thank you very much.
We've got The Rocket, Dan Van Sky.
Dan Van Sky. Woo! Thank you very
much. Good name.
Shield Maiden, the Zornice. Woo!
I thank you very much. The Zornice sending me fan art and making me read German. He's a sexy man, not an Andrew Gross man.
Yeah, there it is. Not an Andrew Gross man. Gross man. Let's get into the rest of your Ultra Chats and see what you guys thought. Last call for your Ultra Chats if you want to get those in. WrestleTalk.com/support. And we'll get through every single one of your messages before the show ends today. Scott Young says, the most annoying thing about Jimmy returning is I now don't know who is who between the Usos. I do because one of them was wearing the Usos merch and the other one wasn't.
One of them was wearing a hat the whole time.
That's true. Yeah, it's a very easy way to tell them apart.
Yep.
I'll do a couple of these and then I'll hand over to you. God, we've got a lot of them. Oh. Thank you, everyone, for coming in with your Ultra Chats. This is great. Simone Sat Carnelos. Nitpick time. Every time WWE does an old school episode, they use 80s logos and generic saxophone music. I get it with Raw, but on SmackDown, I expected a full immersion in attitude / Ruthless Aggression era graphics in songs. Great episode anyway. 100% agree. We talked about it on the show.
Yeah, I didn't mention it earlier, but they absolutely should have used the Rise Up song with the current SmackDown stars. Like, no reason for you not to do that, but they didn't do it, so whatever.
They even posted a thing on social media, which is like the old intro. Just use that on the show. You've already made it. Karen Mirchandani, says that opening segment / match set up Cesaro, Roman, Seth Roman in the future and planted the seeds of dissent between the Usos and Roman, and the match was good. Home run. 100% agree. It was great. Cyclone. Brandon, my dude. Need to have words with you, my friend. Our lovely moderator, Cyclone, says, hey, Pete. Hey, Tempest. Reginald. Thanks, buddy.
Yep.
Appreciate it. Great. That's really great of you. Do you want to take over and do a few, Tempest?
Yeah, let's do it. So Basil Banks says, morning, guys. Thought last night's show was great. Two questions for the intangibles. Yeah. First, in honor of Throwback SmackDown, who do you think is the modern SmackDown 6? And second, who could recreate the supermarket brawl and why is it Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn? Keep up the great work. I think you've got
it's
that
absolutely
part right.
Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Yeah, 100%.
SmackDown 6. We can go through this quickly. We've got, a lot of these guys have stopped appearing, but I think you can go like Ray and Dominic, I think would be good members of a SmackDown 6. I would have said Murphy for a long time, but he's not on the show anymore. Seth could probably be part of a SmackDown 6. Cesaro should be part of the SmackDown 6. I would have said Daniel Bryan, but we know what happened there. And honestly, probably the two the Usos.
Yeah, it's a good show.
That's a pretty solid SmackDown 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty good.
And Sadie 6969 Deegan says, "What's up, you cool dudes? Love how in this retro SmackDown they used 80s graphics, even though the show didn't debut until 1999. Bayley looks so good, and I'm excited for her versus Bianca. I get distracted every time Roman is on screen. Intangibles for life.
Life.
Yes, yeah, man.
I feel that. Roman's an attractive man.
Oh, yeah.
I get distracted, too.
You know?
The story's too good.
I was talking to a friend while I was watching this show, and Roman...
I hope this is a short story, Tempest, because we've already run over time.
It is. It is. I was talking to a friend when Roman came out with the 8K camera, and I just said, you know what? Mm. This man is sex personified. He's just that good looking.
he's a very attractive man. Not going to deny that one.
LJ Mickey says, the whole Reigns-Uso angle was so good. Bayley Belair was okay, but everything else not that great. I fear that SmackDown Creative is focusing only on Roman, and everything else is just doing something meaningless. Thanks for the content. Jam that jam. I mean, yeah, we kind of talked about that.
Fair assessment.
Yeah. Yep. Garrett Albright says, also with the Rollins interaction, could see him getting involved with Roman. Could be fantastic to see the SmackDown Savior try to take Heyman's spot at the table, the special console, the tribal chief. So many great options for Roman storylines. Acknowledge him. It's good stuff. I don't think Paul Heyman is getting away from this, but there's so many options. So many options. Luke Neal says, hey guys, once again, you're great. Just a couple of things. I think Cesaro needs a new finisher in place of the neutralizer, and I don't know why, but I loved Seth and Roman's interaction backstage. Thanks, Tempest, and the real Mr. Real Slim Shady. Yeah, you've got your M&M hat on again here, Pete. Sam Mort says, I am so invested in the Roman storyline and honestly want Jay to be the one to dethrone him. However, I think eventually it will be Drew. It's interesting. I don't necessarily think Drew's going to win the title, but there's a long way before Roman should be losing this title, I think. So you never know. Things could change.
Yeah, I agree.
And then Judas Macias says, I actually like the Reginald and Tamina match. I don't see what you guys are complaining about. I also think Roman is boring. Same old guy in another package. Well, you're just Mr. Bad Take Machine, aren't you there, Judas?
Well, you know. Roman bad, Reginald good.
There are people with every opinion, it seems.
Yeah, totally. And you are perfectly entitled to your opinion. You're also entitled to be wrong, which you are.
Yep. Big I Coteas says, this SmackDown was frustrating to watch. I got the Roman story is the big thing, but do they really need to take up so many spots throughout the entire night? I'm not a big fan of the story, so I'm in a minority, but still.
I mean, if you don't like the story and it takes up that much of the show, I can see why that'd be frustrating. I think it's justified with the quality of the story because I find the story so good. I think it justifies having that much time. But that's just me.
Yeah. Oh, God. I've seen what's coming up. Some stupid punk says, I'm just catching up on the stream. Hearing Denise not understand desperate babyfaces, pleading not to throw Jericho. Yep, Denise the heel strikes again.
That's from yesterday's show. Thank you very much, some stupid punk. But yes, yeah, so we'll pass the message along to Denise. Don't worry.
Oh, God. Dan, what have you done? Mayor of Painesville, Dan, says, good afternoon, Tempest and Pete. Are you ready for some German?
Okay, do you want me to try this time? Because you did the last one.
Do you want to go? Do you want to give German a try?
You did the last one. I feel like it's only fair. I have, however, seen that there is one word that takes up an entire line.
Oh,
one word.
My God. All right. Yeah, go for it.
Here we go. Guten Abend, mein Freunde. Mein Lieblingswort auf Deutsch ist... Okay, here's the long one. Rindfleisch... Ticketierung super Wagen South Gaben Uber Track Sets Ich liebe auch Bye. Which apparently, thank you mods, translates into good evening my friends, my favorite word in German is beef labeling supervision task transfer law. I love you.
Thanks, Dan.
We love you too.
Yeah. And the last culture chat we've got for the day is from Bazo Bank saying, so why did everyone just decide to die at the end of the 10-man tag? Kevin Owens dumped on his head, Chad somehow levitating when Dawkins rushed him before landing hard on the floor, and good God, no one likes to catch Montez, but Otis' head sure did catch those feet. Yeah. They wiped each other out.
That was
for our ultra chats for the day.
I'm still reeling from the German, honestly.
Yeah. Goodness gracious me. Yeah. And that's the show, everyone. Hope you enjoyed our positivity.
How do you say sorry in German? I need to know. Right, I've got some emails here for you, Tempest. What do we want to do? I haven't pre-read any of these emails. We're getting adventurous today. Let's see here. If you guys want to email in, by the way, support@wrestletalk.com is the place to do it. Just put something in the headline, the subject of the email, like, I don't know, the intangibles are the best, and we know that it's for us, and we can read it out.
And we know that you're a smart person if you put that in the headline as well.
Exactly, yeah. We've got one here from Devon that was emailed in last week about Roman's new music, saying, Aloha, Tempete. Tempete.
Don't know if I like that one, but aloha.
Intangibles. Let's go with that. Did that new entrance song for Roman sound familiar to anyone? The tempo, beat, and even keys are very similar to Cry Me a River by Justin Timberlake. Probably not intentional, but wondering if you guys hear it too.
Well, I won't be able to not hear it now.
Yeah, I need a minute to process that. Hold on. Wait. Oh, man.
I can kind of hear it.
Oh, no. Devon, what have you done? What have you done, Devon? Oh, terrible. Thank you for the email, though. Appreciate it. Thanks for ruining Roman's music for me. Appreciate it. God damn it. Oh, God. What do we got? Got an email here from Ethan. Oh, this is about sleep talking. Stupid things you've done when you're half asleep. We ask people to email in about that. Ethan says, hey, Chopper and Tempest. My partner absolutely hates me after I finish a night shift. Mostly while I nod in and out of sleep, I've been making promises to clean or pick children up from school without remembering a bar of it. I accidentally missed picking up our 7-year-old after school because I slept all through the alarms and woke up to loud banging on my door. Now I make sure to set multiple alarms just so I don't forget again. Regards, Ethan. Yeah, that one's relatively serious, you know, picking up children. That's kind of, that's an important thing to do. So I'd not recommend forgetting that. thanks, Ethan. I can't compare. I don't have kids, so I can't relate, unfortunately.
Yeah, nor do I. I don't think I've ever had to, like, I've slept in and missed something like really major. Like I may have been late for work or late for school or whatever, but if I'm being totally honest, I was never really the best student. So I don't really care about missing a little bit of school here and there.
Yeah.
And if I missed, if I missed the first hour of my retail job, oh, well, I can deal with that.
Wrestle Talk does not condone the actions of Tempest the Wrestler. You should all be very studious and turn up on time for your work. I slept through my alarm for the very first shift for a job I had once upon a time.
Great start.
Good first impression I made, which was great. Somehow I kept that job. Don't know how, but you know, I did. Got another one here from Juan. Lost intangibles to Wrestle Talk is the subject of the email. Thank you. You're great. Hola de nuevo. There we go. I completely fumbled that one. Thanks, Han. I do have a few more half asleep stories. Once as a kid, I remember that I woke up and was half naked. Then when I got up, I saw my pants and underwear on the floor and they were wet. I still don't know what really happened that day. There was another time. Wait, you can't just move on. There was another time. You need to resolve this. What do you mean? What kind of wet? Like you'd been in a swimming pool or like you'd pissed yourself? We need to know. Like, we need a follow-up email, Juan. We need to get to the bottom of this. There was another time when a friend woke me up at 3 a.m. to do something and he thought I was going to murder him with my pillow. Apparently, I looked at him with viciousness while holding my pillow. Keep up the good work, jam that jam. Okay, so we've gone from not picking up kids to having wet underwear, and now we've got I will murder you with a pillow. I feel like we're quite at extreme ends on the spectrum here.
I was going to say, those three things cover a lot of ground.
Mm.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, potential bedwetting, potential murder, and actual child neglect.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, perfect. Thanks for the email, Juan. God, have we got any more? I feel like there's one. I feel like I had one. Oh, yeah. I had a story about, I guess I must have been sleepwalking. This was when I was very, very young. I must have been like 6 or 7, maybe. And I somehow got up in the night, walked downstairs. I don't remember any of this. Walked downstairs and went underneath the cupboard under the stairs, essentially. And I set the all the alarms going in the house, like the fire alarm and the burglar alarm and everything that they'd set. I set them all off in the middle of the night. Don't know how I did it. I couldn't tell you how to do it now. But I pressed the right sequence of buttons, apparently, while I was half asleep. And then I woke up because of the noise and found myself under there and didn't know what to do. So I just put my hands over my ears and crouched and just stayed there until someone came and got me, which was my dad, who was quite angry.
See, subconscious you knows how to do that. So yeah. if you're really, maybe you're like a sleeper agent and that's the one thing you were trained how to do. So if you're ever in the position where you need to set off that alarm again, maybe you'll just know how to do it instinctually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. We've got another email here from Jonathan Hedman. I want to say get well soon, by the way, Jonathan Hedman, for
absolutely
thing that happened, which I won't say on air in case you don't want me to say it. But hope you get well soon, buddy. Got one here that says good appropriate time of day. Intangibles to SmackDown. Intangibles to Wrestle Talk. We'll go with that. Yeah. We supersede just SmackDown. I wanted to get your thoughts on a couple of things. While it was nice to see SmackDown basically turn into an episode of primetime wrestling, and while it wasn't the actual Fist, it was nice to see the Fist. But darn it, I really wanted to see the original open of SmackDown with current wrestlers. Meh, it is what it is. Anyway, and I apologize for asking a question I asked on the Friday show, but do you guys have a wrestle wish for the rest of the year? Right now, my biggest wish is that Raw becomes good. I'm thinking small and wishing for good before I wish for great. Anyway, take care, and I apologize for any grammatical errors. It's been a weird week. Jam that jam.
That's still a big wish.
That's a very big wish. A wrestle wish for the rest of the year.
I mean, I just wish that we can have full buildings and good shows and just a grand old time with fans in the stands and everyone's being like safe and responsible and that we don't have to worry about this sort of thing. And hopefully in doing so, and that goes for like everywhere, not just for the American companies. Like I hope all of the Japanese companies can run safely. All the UK based companies can run safely. All the Mexican companies can run safely. And hopefully at that point we can get like proper integration with all of the different companies. Like it kind of looked like it was going to happen, you know, 6 months ago, even where there are so many companies now that are all interconnected with one another. You know, I could do like a weird web that connects like almost all the major companies, you know, in the world right now, besides like WWE and maybe a couple Japanese companies. But there's so much potential there for exciting stuff to happen. And it's just being stopped by this roadblock that is the pandemic right now. So if that disappears, not only will we have fans in the buildings and that's just a much better, more fun way to watch wrestling in general, but also we can see some really cool stuff.
Yeah, 100% agree with you on that one. I'm struggling to think of a wrestle wish that isn't just really boring, because my instinct is just to be like, I just want all the shows to be good so that everyone's just happy watching the shows. Like, watch what you want to watch and everyone's happy doing it. It's like, you want to watch NXT? It's good. You want to watch AEW? It's good. Want to watch Raw and SmackDown? It's good. Like, I just want stuff to be good. It won't be and everyone hates it. And everyone's very like, well, you like this thing, which means I hate you kind of thing. I just, that's what I want. There's my wrestle wish. I want people to be nicer. It's not even really a wrestle wish, but it's kind of a wrestle wish because the wrestling community is terrible online.
That's a good wish. That's a good wish, Pete.
Yeah. Everyone should be nicer to each other. There's a hot take for you today. Should we do another email? Let's do one more email. Let's go crazy. Let's do another email.
Going crazy.
I know. It's wild today. Go on here from Juan Gabriel. This will be the last email today. Remember, get in your emails for next week because I've kind of gone through all the ones we had. Support at wrestletalk.com. Give us some more for next week. Juan Gabriel says, what's up, LIW? Hey. Catching. I hope you guys are having a great weekend. I have two things I want to share with you. The Usos-Roman storyline just got really interesting with Jimmy coming back and not falling in line with the Tribal Chief. So many possibilities for this mouth-watering storyline to ascend into new heights, and I'm hyped. What do you think about this, and how should it play out? We've almost certainly talked about that on the main show, which we haven't technically recorded yet, but I'm sure we've spoken about it because it's the main talking point. So you listen to that. Number two, I have a small but proud wrestling accomplishment. I recently moved into my brother's house until I get approved for my very own place and my first townhome. On Wednesday, he comes into my room and I'm watching Blood and Guts and he sees Chris Jericho wrestling. He's a lapsed fan that never really went back into it like I have. However, he was intrigued by AEW and the whole match. We started watching the show and he enjoyed it. I told him that there was a really great match that I recommended if he would like to watch it, and he said sure. Turned on the TV and I put on Andrade Cien Almas versus Johnny Gargano at TakeOver Philadelphia. We started watching it and his fiance sits down with us and watches it too. Long story short, they both loved the match and wanted more matches. I showed them the NXT North American Championship ladder match at TakeOver New Orleans. They loved it and want more. This is the first time that I was able to show someone who was a lapsed fan and a new person to wrestling and have them interested. I, of course, told them to not watch Raw at all and to watch the main event story on SmackDown. However, to watch NXT and AEW if they want great wrestling. I feel accomplished. This is all I have for this week. Thanks for being great, like always. Your email chief and head of the emails, Juan Gabriel. That's a great accomplishment. Well done. Good choice of matches, by the way.
Oh, yeah. You are doing the Lord's work in wrestling right now, Juan. Yeah. I don't think that there are better matches from NXT you could have shown. Those are quite possibly my two favorite NXT matches ever. So you get Tempest's seal of approval with those choices.
Absolutely, yeah. And depending what you wanted to show them as well, if you want like top tier wrestling caliber, you're going to do the Gargano Almas match. If you want like the spectacle, you're going to do the ladder match, which is just kind of like high spots. For me, I would also consider doing Shinsuke versus Sammy from TakeOver Dallas, just for the crowd and like the interaction between like of the tension of the crowd, like being into every single thing that happens and like the magic of wrestling. Like that would be a high contender for me to show someone new as well. Just to be like, look, it's great. Everyone loves it. Isn't it cool? Look at this crowd.
And you get that Nakamura entrance too. Oh, it'd be so good.
Dude, it's so good. Anyway, that is going to do it for this week's episode. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. We really do appreciate your support. Get any emails for next week. I don't have any more to read. Support at wrestletalk.com. Also, thanks for your support. Also, I'm off next week. Soz, I'm gonna be away. I'm not on NXT. I'm not on SmackDown. So get in your emails, but they won't be for me to read. They'll be for someone else. Anyway, yes, we'll see you guys later. I'll be back. Don't worry. We've got Backlash next week as well. So stay tuned for that too. Take care of each other. We love you very much. Stay safe. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.